Broadcasting life and truth around the world, you're listening to the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, president of the Christian Research Institute. The mission of CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast is to teach discernment and to defend the essential doctrines of the historic Christian faith. Each day, Hank answers questions with a passion for apologetics, biblical literacy, and countering the cults. For more information about CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To begin today's Bible Answer Man broadcast, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. Contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, I had a blood transfusion earlier this morning, and they give you these drugs that make you a little dopey. So if I sound dopey, please bear with me. I don't feel dopey. I feel great. And I got some news today that was so fantastic. I'm likely, by God's grace, going to undergo an allogeneic transplant, which is actually curative for my disease. So if all goes well this year, I may be cured of my disease, not just staving it off, but actually being cured of the disease. So I'm kind of giddy about all of that. I have been praying that God would give me another 10 or 20 or more years of faithful service in His kingdom. I've been looking forward to that, and I see sort of the light at the end of the tunnel. So I am giddy, a little drowsy, but glad to be in studio. We are going to go to our calls in just a moment. I do want to follow up on a call that I got. I promised Clifford when he called in and asked a follow-up question that I would get back to him on that question on today's broadcast. Clifford was calling in from British Columbia, Canada, and he asked me about an apparent contradiction between Matthew and Luke. Why the apparent contradiction? Because in Matthew's gospel, there's an account of Joseph, Mary, and Jesus going to Egypt, while Luke leaves out this account altogether. He focuses instead on the return of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus to Nazareth. This, of course, is not a contradiction, but the reality that the gospel writers collectively flesh out the story of Jesus, each with their own unique emphasis. Well, Clifford followed up asking about Mark 1 and John 1. And I thought I'd written about this in my book, Has God Spoken? But it turns out I haven't. So I looked into this. The way the question was posited by Clifford on the broadcast was that Mark 1 says that immediately after the baptism of Jesus Christ, he went into the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by Satan. In John 1, however, you have Jesus on the very next day after baptism choosing the disciple John and then choosing Philip the next day. And then the third day after that, he went to the marriage, of course, in Cana of Galilee. And after that, he went to Capernaum and so on. I'm sure you know the story. So how do you reconcile Mark 1 with John 1? Well, it turns out that the recounting that Clifford gave of the Gospel of John was not quite right. The Apostle John does not say that the very next day after the actual baptism that Jesus chose the disciples and so on. Rather, the reference to the next day in John chapter 1 refers to the day after John the Baptist had very publicly testified to being involved in the baptism of Jesus Christ or baptizing Jesus Christ. So the Apostle John is simply recounting John the Baptist's personal testimony of witnessing the Holy Spirit descending and remaining upon Christ at his baptism. So in the Gospel of John, the question of exactly when Christ's baptism occurred in relation to the other events is not even considered. It occurred just sometime in the past from the point of view of John the Baptist. If you harmonize John with Mark, and not only John with Mark, but John with Mark and Matthew and Luke, you find a chronology emerging. John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. Christ then is led into the desert by the Holy Spirit and tempted by Satan. And then John the Baptist is questioned by the Jewish leaders as to whether he himself is the Christ. And then on the day following this questioning, Christ returns to the place where John was baptizing. So, as I noted, the four gospel writers do not give us the exact same story in the exact same way. If they did that, we would cry out this famous word that's being used in the political circles, collusion. Each writer, instead of colluding, is independently choosing what to include and what not to include in the life and ministry of Jesus. Remember that John the theologian said Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them was written down, I suppose that not even the whole world would have room for the books that would have been written. So here's the bottom line. A consensus of credible scholars discerns a core set of reliable facts presented by the gospel writers. One indication, therefore, of the authentic and reliable gospel writers is the fact that they are each telling the story in their own way. They're offering complementary details such that the independent accounts taken together flesh out the entirety of the story. Hopefully that helps in terms of the follow-up. Clifford, if you're listening in, and for everybody else that was interested in this very insightful question asked by Clifford. Let's go back to the phone lines, or go to the phone lines. First up today, Joe in New York City, New York, listening on the web. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Hank. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
I was wondering if you could help me out with some advice on a question that I have.
Sure.
Lately, I had been pretty disconnected with my faith. I had been going to an Orthodox church for a while. I was chrismated under the Greek Orthodox Diocese of America. And over the past couple of months, I haven't been going much. I ended up started going to a Baptist church. Pretty much a lot of the things that were going on that I had witnessed in the specific parish that I was going to, I wasn't necessarily appreciating, and I felt like the word wasn't really being preached as I felt it should. So I ended up going to this church, you know, which, you know, was a Baptist parish, church right around the corner from me. And I started, you know, appreciating everything that was going on over there and had been hearing the gospel being preached more lively than I have heard it, you know, in a very long time. I feel genuinely bad that I haven't been to my specific parish in, you know, quite some time, and I'm wanting to go back. But I have this fear that I'm going to lose everything that I've gained, and I'm not sure if I'm being selfish about that.
Well, I don't think it's a matter of being selfish. I think here's the deal. First, God has his people everywhere. If there's one thing I have learned in ministry, God has his people in many, many different places. And therefore, you can find genuine Christian fellowship in many different places. But when you say you didn't hear the gospel being preached, let me say that each time you experience the liturgy, you're experiencing the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The liturgy is rife with gospel. Secondly, remember that the liturgy itself has an epicenter, and that epicenter is the Eucharist, and with the Eucharist, you are partaking of the real presence of Christ, and the real presence of Christ is transformative. It transforms you from one glory to another. You have to partake of what is available in the church to be transformed by the church. The church offers us graces that transform us so that we are not static as a Christian, but we are, as just mentioned, going from one glory to another glory to another glory. But that only happens if you truly partake of those graces offered within the context of the church. So, look, I think that you can fully experience the gospel during each liturgy, and you can experience the graces within the context of the church. And hopefully that helps. Coming to the station break, we'll be right back with more answers.
If you were going into combat, what would be more important, the number of those who were for you or the number of those who were with you? Now, apply that question to today's battle for the hearts and minds of literally millions of people at home and abroad. That's what makes members of CRI's support team so vital. They're not simply for CRI's critical mission, they're standing with CRI each and every day. If you want your voice and your values to be heard 24/7 through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, become a member of CRI's support team today. Just call 888-7000-CRI to stand with CRI daily in the battle for life and truth. And as our thanks, Hank Hanegraaff will personalize to you a copy of his black leather-bound, silver-embossed Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit our website at equip.org. Hank will be back right after this. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.
What are the secrets to real intimacy with God? In The Prayer of Jesus, Hank Hanegraaff will help you understand the mystery of prayer by delving into the prayer of the one who is the cornerstone of our faith, Jesus Christ. To learn Jesus' sevenfold secret of prayer as found in his own words, Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, and it revolutionized their lives. You too can revolutionize your prayer life by learning to pray as Jesus prayed, to experience even deeper union with God. The Prayer of Jesus is the secret to attaining a level of intimacy with the lover of your soul you may never before have imagined. To receive your copy of The Prayer of Jesus, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I haven't done this in a while. A YouTube question. This question comes from Joe. I thought it was a good question. We'll answer it on air. Joe writes, I have a Hindu friend who says that his faith in Vishnu is also a state of trust grounded in reason. Now, he obviously thinks that his faith is correct, just as you think your faith is correct. So how is someone going to tell the difference between the faith that you profess and the faith that my friend professes? Is there a way to tell which faith is correct? I think the answer to that question is absolutely. You know, if you think about Hinduism, the first thing that ought to come into your mind is their fixation on reincarnation. In other words, for a Hindu, the hope is the transmigration of the soul. But that isn't based in reason. That's a Hindu fantasy. Conversely, as a Christian, I believe in resurrection. I believe that Jesus died and rose again. Now, I don't believe that through blind faith. Rather, I believe that as a result of faith rooted in a refutable fact. And my go-to is always the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Because there he gives a four-part argument for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He begins by saying Christ died for our sins. In other words, he begins by saying Jesus Christ suffered fatal torment. If there wasn't a death, there wouldn't be a resurrection. Now, that point is largely conceded. The second thing, says Paul, is that Christ was buried. Not only buried, but he was buried in an identifiable tomb, and that tomb was empty. Christianity simply cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Jesus Christ. The third thing, says Paul, is that Christ appeared and he gave many convincing proofs that he had indeed risen from the dead. And finally, he talks about transformation, not only transformation of others, but his own transformation. He gave up a posh position, to say the least, in order to become a follower of Jesus Christ. And he ultimately paid the price of capital punishment for his decision. Persecution, ultimately death. Now, as I've said many times, it's conceivable that someone would die for what they firmly believe to be true, but inconceivable that millions like Paul would die for what they knew to be a lie. So again, my point is simply this. The Hindu scriptures are giving you an idea that's based on wild speculation. Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. And that's why we say how firm a foundation you saints of the Lord is laid for your faith in his excellent word. So the idea, as the Hindus say, that all of reality is a continuum or simplified whole, there's no real distinction between morals and mice, is simply untrue. The goal of human liberation in Hinduism is liberation from reincarnation. The goal in Christianity is resurrection. The difference could not be more stark. I've written about Hinduism in my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. You can find it on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Shane in Cold Lake, Alberta, Canada, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Shane.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. I just have a question about, I received this free book in the mail, and it's The Awesome Potential of Man, and it's from the Restored Church of God. And I was diving into it, and I just wanted to know your opinion on it. Like, does it have any credentials at all, or...
Well, it's not. It doesn't have any credibility, and it's kind of interesting that you would call today because I was just answering a question about, some of the correlations between the identity movement of a person, Peter Peters, who's now deceased, and Armstrong, who's also deceased. But yeah, this is a book written by David Pack. He's the Pastor General of the Restored Church of God. And they have a website which tells you that this is a movement committed to preserving and teaching everything that Armstrong taught. So if you want to know what David C. Pack is all about, all you have to know is what Herbert W. Armstrong's legacy was. Well, one of the things that comes to mind immediately as Herbert W. Armstrong taught his followers to deny the Trinity. Well, why do Christians believe in the Trinity? They believe in the Trinity because the Bible teaches that there's one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. It's not something they comprehend, but something they apprehend and therefore bow their knee before what Scripture teaches to them. And as I've said many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, if you have a Unitarian God, you have a God that is not worthy of worship. Reason being is absent the universe, there's no one to love, and therefore you end up with a morally defective deity. Obviously, in his teachings, you have a denial of the personality of the precious Holy Spirit. And again, we know through Scripture that the Holy Spirit is not an it, is not a power. It is a personal being. The Holy Spirit is not it. The Holy Spirit is a personality. Herbert W. Armstrong, along with David C. Pack, denied the two natures of Christ. This is a huge, huge mistake, because the Bible clearly teaches us that Christ is one person with two natures, 100% human, 100% divine. This was something not only taught in Scripture, but passed down through the ages and fought for in the ecumenical councils of the historic Christian church. And without both natures, not only would we not have a crystal Christ, the paragon of virtue, who is before all things, but we would have a Christ who could not sufficiently atone for the sins of humankind. He denied the sufficiency of Christ's atonement. He denied eternal conscious punishment. So Armstrong and Pack are set in opposition to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ clearly taught the reality of eternal conscious torment. In other words, Christ taught what it was like, using metaphor, what it would be like to be separated from the love and the goodness and the grace of God for all eternity. And so Jesus would say, using prophetic hyperbole, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body to be thrown into hell. So again, Jesus is pointing out how horrible it would be to choose to separate yourself from God's goodness and grace. And we already see that in this life. And Christ is saying, if you see that in this life, how much more horrendous to have this be an eternal verity in the life to come. Of course, as we've been talking about on the broadcast, he held to Anglo-Israelism. He required the Saturday Sabbath. It's very legalistic with respect to dietary foods and so forth. And so this is a man in a ministry that is not to be lauded but rejected.
Okay. Yeah, perfect. Thank you. I got into his book about 25 pages in, and I already felt that there was something wrong with this message, so I appreciate it.
You got it, and thank you so much for your call. Unfortunately, out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Remember, as always, Monday through Friday, the number to dial to get your questions answered live on air, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. The resources that I talked about, the cross with the prayer of St. Ephraim, which I pray every single morning, not as a rote tradition, but a meaningful prayer to the Lord, as well as the Lord's Prayer, with its explication in its book, The Prayer of Jesus, available for those who support the ministry. If you already have the book, give it to somebody else as a gift. It was a number one bestseller. You can also access the book via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Thanks again for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.